Whew. What a year. 2024 is done. 2025 incoming. And today, what are we going to do? Today, we're going to talk about my big wins, my big losses, how much I've grown on social, a wealth breakdown, including all the different stocks and equities I own, some business updates, like how my business is doing, productivity unlocks that I've had, any insights and learnings. We're breaking it down in this video. And the truth is, I don't know where this video is going to go. I don't know where this pod is going to go. I didn't come super prepared. I wanted it to be like a conversation that I'm having with a friend. I've got a few ideas on what we can talk about, and it's just going to be me and you having a conversation about my 2024 year in review. And my hope is that by listening to this, you will get some ideas about your year, and it'll get your creative juices flowing. So, I'd like to start off by talking about my big wins. So I actually haven't announced this anywhere, but me and my wife had a baby. Yes, we had a baby. She's 7 weeks old. It's just completely changed my perception about everything. I know all parents say this, but I'm still processing what it all means. But I can tell you that it's one of the most beautiful things, if not the most beautiful things, that has happened in my life. Just having like a mini you kind of in the world that you get to teach, is so cool. Had a baby, looking for all the baby advice that you can possibly give, and excited to join this adventure. So, that was number one. The second thing is, I started working out consistently. I started actually lifting consistently, and the amount of mental clarity that I've gotten from that has been amazing. I've also gained weight. I've gained a lot of muscle weight. I think like 15, 20 pounds, something like that. So I'm bigger, which is kind of weird because when I look in the mirror, I'm like, I look more broad and some, honestly, I don't even know if I like the look. But the mental clarity, is unmatched. So, highly recommend lifting. And how I got into it, I guess, is I got a personal trainer. So I got a personal trainer 3 times a week. You know, I have to show up. I'm there. I might reduce my personal trainer like maybe to once a week. Now that like I'm in the flow. Definitely enjoy just the benefits of lifting. I actually can't believe it took me until like 35 to do it consistently. The last biggest win is I basically grew this podcast into a serious platform. I'm going to give one more big win after this, but I grew this podcast into a serious platform. You know, last year, going into 2024, there was a very small group of people who listened to this podcast. I switched the name from Where It Happens to the Startup Ideas Podcast. I really started focusing on giving away everything I could in terms of value. I really just wanted people to take the ideas from the podcast and implement it and see what happens. It was kind of like in a lot of ways, like a social experiment. And people took these ideas. They learned you know, growth tactics on how to grow their businesses. They took a lot of the startup ideas and actually just went and built them. And it was a success, and people just started talking about the pod, and it's probably one of my biggest wins of the year. And the last biggest win is I hit a financial net worth number that has always been in my head that I thought that I would never get to, but I hit it. And I don't really want to say the number. That's not the point, but I did hit it. And I'll talk more at the end of like why I hit it. But basically there was a company that I had stock in, and it there was liquidity. You know, I had a liquidity event. And that was a good feeling. Okay, big losses and lessons. Obviously, you know, not everything is rosy. I think one of the biggest ones is I felt that throughout 2024, I wasn't working on the most important thing. For example, I'm one of those people, you know, a lot of people tell me this, that I'm really like quick on text, and I'm quick on Twitter, and I'm quick to answer people. And I don't think that's a very good thing. I find myself, you know, I could get distracted by someone sends me a text message and be like, what do you think of this? Or, you know, I just find I get distracted a little bit too much. It's not like I'm distracted in the sense that I'm going to go and play Fortnite, distracted. It means that some other business text comes in, and then I end up, or email comes in, and I end up, I just end up in a rabbit hole, and all of a sudden like 2 hours goes by, and I'm just really unable to get back to where I was thinking. So, you know, I'm spending more time on do not disturb mode. I really think that it's like the only way to get work done. I'm spending more time with pen and paper. I'm starting to write things down more. I'm spending less time in like more hardcore productivity software stuff. So less time in places like Notion, where I get distracted, and more time in places like Apple Notes, where I feel more focused. So that has been a loss, just because I haven't been able to get to the goals I've been wanting to get to, just because I've been getting sidetracked throughout the year. Quick break in the pod to tell you a little bit about Startup Empire. So Startup Empire is my private membership, where it's a bunch of people like me, like you, who want to build out their startup ideas. Now they're looking for content to help accelerate that. They're looking for potential co-founders. They're looking for tutorials from people like me to come in and tell them, how do you do email marketing? How do you build an audience? How do you go viral on Twitter? All these different things. That's exactly what Startup Empire is. And it's for people who want to start a startup but are looking for ideas, or it's for people who have a startup but just they're not seeing the traction that they need. So you can check out the link to startupempire.co in the description. Another big loss has been I put too much trust in 2024 in certain teammates without checks and balances. So I'm one of those people that, you know, I look at, you know, I hear people like Andrew Wilkinson, you know, friend of the pod, talking about how he hires CEOs and he builds these businesses and he has complete trust, you know, and a lot of trust with these people. Or, you know, Warren Buffett talks a lot similar to that too, where, you know, he trusts management to do the right thing. I feel like it's trust management or trust teammates, but with checks and balances. There needs to be checks and balances. And I didn't include enough checks and balances in 2024, and I had to pay the price. This is going to sound like really dumb, and I'll admit that this happened, but we had someone on our finance team that was just like putting in not the right numbers. Like the numbers were incorrect, and there were this was a costly mistake, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars type mistake. And it's going to be okay. Like, we're going to, you know, it's fine, but like we figured it out. This is a person who we hired remotely, who is literally working a second job. She wasn't doing it maliciously. You need to have these checks and balances, especially in a remote work environment. You need to have checks and balances. Big lesson learned there. And then I'd say another big lesson, or key learning, I should say, is that this year was a less profitable year than in 2023. And that's okay. I mean, on one hand, like we did a year in review and like, oh my God, we made less money this year. You know, we pride ourselves in building cash flowing businesses and the reality is we were less profitable this year. But it's okay because we are reinvesting our businesses, reinvesting more of our cash into technology. And I'll talk more about that later. It is a loss. Like, the truth is it's a loss. Like, we should be at least 15 to 20% more profitable every single year from a free cash flow perspective. We weren't. Next year, we'll do better. I could, I'm telling myself, we're just reinvesting more of the money into technology. That's true. But I think we can do that while also maintaining profitability. So right before I recorded this, I went on Twitter, X, and asked, recording your year in review podcast, what questions do you want me to answer? Nothing off limits. So let's actually answer off the cuff some of the questions that you all have, and let's rock. Or says, what are you least happy about in your current life? I would say I've gotten much better at sleep, but I find I still like wake up a couple, sometimes at night, and I wish I had more deep sleep, and I'm still trying to figure out how to optimize it. I know that sounds like so trivial, but like sleep matters so much to me, and like, it sets the tone for your whole day. So having just like crushing sleep is what I'm least happy about. Eric says, what are the stupidest things you're doing right now? Stupidest things I'm doing right now, honestly, is probably not just like going harder, doubling down. This is such a good time to be building businesses. I feel like I have so many unfair advantages. I feel like I'm going fast, but if I'm being honest with myself, I think I could be going faster. What's the one best idea to have to grow your business next year? Invest in technology, just build software around each of our businesses. If you were to focus on just one thing, what would it be? Hiring great CEOs and finding partners to incubate businesses with. Is that two things? It's basically like finding partners. Like the one thing I want to focus on is finding business partners. And business partners that I want to work with, not just for 1 year, 4 years, like for the rest of my freaking life. What was your primary leverage for expanding your personal brand this year, by Cody? Probably X is the leverage, you know? I think that's what you're trying to ask, right? I used X to create the flywheel for everything else around my personal brand. How did that growth impact sales and revenue? I would say without my personal brand, sales and revenue would be like 40% less. So, millions and millions of dollars a year. Yeah, it's actually crazy. Many, many millions of dollars a year. For obvious reasons, no one wants to talk publicly about hidden techniques to win at the social media game. From paid engagement to astroturfing and engagement pods, it's gotten harder to reach critical mass. What percentage of large accounts got there using these techniques? Honestly, like, I don't even know what astroturfing is. The engagement pod stuff, I feel like it's definitely happening, but it's not the number one reason why someone grows. I don't like this mentality, to be honest. Like, yes, it's hard to grow, but it's also, I don't even know. I think it's probably on X specifically, it's probably easier to grow to 100,000, zero to 100,000 followers today than it was last year at this time. And that's because the For You page of X highlights more smaller accounts. So just like, forget about paid engagement, astroturfing, whatever that is, and engagement pods, and just like create really great content that people need in a format that they want to accept it, and do a lot of, and be a reply guy, like reply a lot to people, build relationships, and just like forget about these things. What single thing is having the biggest impact on your biz? Building media around our businesses. What's your best return on investment item? Like physical item? I mean, MacBook? Right? Given the volume of ideas you've generated, come across this year, how did you keep yourself focused? I should have been more focused, but, you know, every day, the three things that, you know, I write down the three things that I need to get done today. What are the three most important things? How many hours do I work on average in 2024? Hot take, 40 hours a week. You can get a lot of stuff done in 40 hours per week. I honestly... 99% of my entire career has been working 40 hours a week. Of course, there's been times where I work 70 hours a week and there's some deadline to hit. But I think you can get a ton done in 40 hours per week. You got to be very constrained and focused. What is everyone in your industry completely wrong about right now? That GPT wrappers aren't real businesses. Did anyone take business ideas and run with it? People are always taking business ideas from this podcast and running with it. It's absolutely amazing. Those are some of the interesting questions from the tweet. Okay, let's talk about platform growth. YouTube. At the end of 2023, I was at 11,000 YouTube subscribers. Today, we're sitting at 146,000 subscribers. So that's a absolutely insane growth trajectory. I actually cannot believe it. And you know, the insight here is, I talked a little bit about it in the beginning. It's just like knowing who your audience is, and really just, you know, leaning into it. I think another smart thing that we did was, We got really good at titles and thumbnails, and I think that helped. And the way we did it is we reached out to people who are the best in the game. You know, like we reached out to you know, the people who did, you know the guy who did titles and thumbnails for Mr. Beast, and was like, would you give us 15 minutes of your time? And you'd be surprised. Like, either you can, you know, ask these people to, like, you know, what do you give feedback, or just like pay for their time. Be like, hey, how much is 15 minutes going to cost to give you, to give us a little bit of direction on where we can go? And a lot of these people, I mean, you can even, like, here's a hack, like go to, and I'm not affiliated with these people, but go to like intro.co and like see like what are popular YouTubers on there, and just be like, there are YouTubers there that have millions of subscribers that you can just be like, hey, I'll give you $250 or whatever they cost for 15 minutes and tell me everything you need to know about I need to know about titles and thumbnails. So YouTube, big lesson there. Focus on the niche. Titles and thumbnails make a big difference. I grew from 361,000 followers to 420,000 followers. So about 59,000 followers there. A lot of people here know me from X. I think most of my followers came from a few tweets. That's just the reality of X today. Either your tweets go ballistic or they go absolutely nowhere. But I still think it's a great place to gain followers in the business niche. My strategy there is the same, I've talked about it before. I have a notes file with, just key observations I make through the week. On Fridays, I'll go through it. I'll make it more into actual tweets. Some of them are bad. I'll discard those. And then I'll post the ones that I'm ready. I try to make my social platforms like a bit more aligned. I don't want YouTube to be the only YouTube and the pod to be the only place where I talk about startup ideas. So I started on X to just be like, okay, here's some free startup ideas you can take. And it started to work. And I think I started to become known more in 2024 as a guy who gives startup ideas. So that was a huge win on the X front. So not only did I grow, but I think I also kind of changed positioning and perception there. LinkedIn, I went from 82,000 to 149,000 followers. That's literally with doing like zero work. It's just, copying and pasting my X tweets and posting some of them on LinkedIn. Podcast, again, big year for the podcast on audio and Spotify, which by the way, a lot of people listen on video, definitely go and listen on audio and on Spotify and Apple if you're, if you prefer to just like go for walks and listen. I know I enjoy that too. It went from 360,000 downloads in 2023 to 575,000 downloads. So I think it grew, but not nearly as much as YouTube. So I'm still trying to figure out audio. I'm still trying to figure it out. And I also have like a bunch of bad reviews on audio, like some mean reviews. So I don't like that. I don't know why I have some mean reviews there, but in 2025, I'd love to get more podcast downloads, and I'd love to get less mean reviews and more nice reviews. My newsletter went from 72,000 subs to about 120,000 subs. So huge growth there. And I finally cracked the nut with the newsletter. So created a bit of a flywheel with, people. I post on X some like free startup related content. Then there's a call to action to go and listen to the podcast or watch the podcast on YouTube. And then people watch the podcast on YouTube mostly. And then there's a call to action with a lead magnet that says like, hey, if you want more of this stuff, go and download XYZ guide. So in 2024, I started creating guides that were lead magnets. So that flywheel worked. And it really started taking off towards the end of 2024. I wouldn't be surprised if this time next year, the newsletter exceeds 200,000 subscribers. I think that's relatively conservative and totally possible. Quick ad break. Let me tell you about a business I invested in. It's called boringmarketing.com. So a few years ago, I met this group of people that were some of the best SEO experts in the world. They were behind getting some of the biggest companies found on Google. And the secret sauce is they've got a set of technology and AI that could help you outrank your competition. So for my own businesses, I wanted that. I didn't want to have to rely on Mark Zuckerberg. I didn't want to depend on ads to drive customers to my businesses. I wanted to rank high in Google. That's why I like SEO, and that's why I use boringmarketing.com, and that's why I invested in it. They're so confident in their approach that they offer a 30-day sprint with 100% money-back guarantee. Who does that nowadays? So check it out. Highly recommend boringmarketing.com. Okay, we're going to go into the next section. It's the wealth breakdown section. I'm going to tell you about some of the stocks I own, stuff like that. So this year, my net worth has gone up 38% year over year. So it was probably, might have been my biggest, it's my biggest year ever. And I, you know, a big reason for that, as I mentioned, is there was an investment that I made years ago that you know, I got liquidity in. Also the stock market ripped. Like the stock market absolutely ripped. So those are the two reasons. My net worth in terms of breakdown, it's 75% in stocks, 16% in private equity, 7% in real estate, and 2% in crypto. So I'll just tell you some of the stocks that I own. This is not financial advice. Do your own research. I'm just sharing in case it's just interesting to people. So 10% of my net worth is in Berkshire, Berkshire Hathaway. And the reason there really is, you know, I'm doing such more high risk tech stuff. I'm just like, what's something that's like extremely boring? And that's why it's such a large percentage of my portfolio. Same is true with SPY, 10% of my portfolio. SPY is the S&P index, S&P 500 index. Apple, 8%, Amazon, 7%, Microsoft, 6%, WCLD, 5%, which is a ETF for the cloud computing index. In my last year, 2023 year interview, I talked about my thesis on this, and it panned out. If you would have listened to that video and in that episode and actually bought WCLD, you would have done really well. The thesis at the time was, and it's still a similar thesis, is that if you're a cloud company, you're very well situated to be an AI company. So the thesis was that cloud companies were going to become AI companies, which turned out to be true in a lot of sense. So, you know, that's WCLD. Google, 5%. I actually trimmed some Google towards the end of 2023. Shouldn't have done that. I was worried about they're losing their search, advantage. And of course, I do think that they will, like they had a monopoly on search. So, and it is their big moneymaker. But at the same time, like they have so many different business units now. It's such a conglomerate. Waymo is really, really crushing it right now. That's a part of Google. They've got Android, they've got YouTube, Google Cloud. Again, you know, that's a part of my thesis, and Google Cloud is absolutely on a tear. So I'm feeling good about Google, and it trades at like 27 times PE or something like that. So I don't think it's super overpriced. Pershing Square Holding is Bill Ackman's fund. He actually owns Google. He owns Chipotle. You know, my thesis there is basically he's like kind of like a mini Warren Buffett. So I wanted to place a bet there and see what happens. Place a bet there. IWM, which is an index of the Russell 2000. You know, if you look at the growth of S&P 500 versus Russell 2000, which is, I think it's small cap stocks under $1 billion, the S&P 500 has absolutely destroyed the IWM, the Russell 2000. Just pulling it up. You know, for example, year to date, the IWM is up 11%, where The S&P is up 26%. So I actually think that small caps are going to be, they've just been not in favor, but I actually think they will at some point come back in favor. So that's why I placed the 5% bet in IWM. Constellation Software. Constellation Software is another part of, like, you know, I invested 5% into, you know, Bill Ackman's Pershing Square, which kind of operates similar to Berkshire. And Constellation Software also operates similar to Berkshire. They own vertical SaaS businesses, a bunch of them. And, you know, it's a 3% allocation there. Mark Leonard is the founder. He's like, he kind of looks like Rick Rubin. He's like a Canadian Rick Rubin, like doesn't do interviews. He we'll put up a chart of like how well Constellation has done over like the last 20 years. It's like absolutely insane. Like gone up, let's see. I mean, it's up 24,000% all time. It's just absolutely crazy. Absolutely crazy. So he's a good steward of capital. And we'll see. You know, that's a bet. Other stocks at 8%, fixed income and cash at 3%. The private equity is mostly in funds and startup investments. Real estate. I actually bought a new apartment for our growing family, so that's a part there. And crypto, 2%, and that's mostly Bitcoin. I guess this is a bit of a loss. Like I trim I rebalance my portfolio. I'm not one of those people that is like glued to my phone to see like what, you know, how my portfolio is doing at any given time. I think that's a huge distraction. But, you know, every month or every 3 months, I'll look into it and rebalance. So I was rebalancing crypto as it was going up. Huge loss there, right? I was selling Bitcoin, you know, when it was at 60,000 and 70,000 and 80,000. That's the way I roll. That's the way I roll. I keep it pretty disciplined. I think that a crypto allocation of 2% is, you know, is healthy. And also in my private equity investments, you know, call it another 2 or 3% is in crypto funds there as well. So for all the crypto heads who are like, I can't believe you're so low investment in crypto, I think I probably have a, you know, 5% allocation in total, which I don't think is crazy. So that's my wealth breakdown 2024. And I don't really think I'll make huge differences in 2025. You know, maybe just add to those positions as I get more information. Okay. Business updates. Late Checkout Agency, which is our design agency that builds new products for the biggest brands in the world, from, you know, Shopify to Nike to Dropbox, had a great year. It had an absolutely great year, and I think we really hit our stride, especially as, you know, we've designed some of the biggest AI products. Because people were coming to us and you know, years ago, literally, and saying, hey, like, you know, we're Dropbox and, you know, we're a cloud, you know, we're looking for a new AI product, or we want to build a new AI product. So we would build it for them. We would design it for them. We would help them to think through a lot of these things. So I would say there that, you know, it was a good year. Like the lesson there, I think, is, especially with agencies in general, is like you do need a niche down. I feel like we found, you know, our two niches in 2024, which is building new products. I call them community-based products. So what is a community-based product? It's like we'll basically go into your community and build them a website, an app, a new product that really speaks to that community, that drives revenue and drives word of mouth. And then just AI interfaces, like we've become known as AI interface, you know, an AI interface agency, and we are just booked up. We are so booked up. We'll probably do more partnering with some of the big AI companies and just basically take some cash and some equity as a part of those deals. So we did a little bit of that in 2024, and we'll continue to do that in 2025. And what's really cool about that is the cost, you know, are covered, and then you basically just get upside in these, you know, really, really fast growing businesses. They're not even startups at this point. And then you just build that portfolio, and I'm very excited about that. I don't think a lot of people are doing, you know, equity for services, and we're very specific on, you know, there's only a few companies in the world that we'll do it with, and they need to be multi-billion dollar companies, but I expect to do more of that. Okay. Oh, and by the way, Late Checkout Agency, we actually kind of like rebranded to LCA. I don't know if it was a good thing. I don't know if we should have just kept it Late Checkout Agency or just call it LCA. We did like a whole rebranding thing, effort, you know. It's definitely fun to rebrand. But like, did we need to do it? Does Late Checkout Agency, is that a better name? I'm starting to get used to LCA, but I do notice that people still call us Late Checkout or Late Checkout Agency. So, I don't know. That's a question mark. That's me being real with you. This is me having that friend to friend conversation. Who knows there? But, okay. Next business update is Boring. So Boring Marketing, the end of 2023, we had started to scale it. It was doing millions of dollars a year of revenue, AI assisted SEO. And it continues to do that. It continues to scale. We're starting to use a lot more agents, and we're not even starting to use the implementation of boringmarketing.com has a lot more agents and a lot more AI, a lot more proprietary technology that we built. Okay, so what you're going to get from us in 2025 is just more tools that you can use on your own. So you won't need to sign up to the service to get the amazing result of boringmarketing.com. Because that was one of the key insights, I guess, for 2024. Some people have their own SEO teams or have their own marketing teams and are just like, I just want to implement myself. And it's like, okay, great. So we're unbundling a lot of the products. So in early 2025, you'll see some cool stuff there. We also launched boringads.com. So boringads.com is crushing it, absolutely crushing it. And it's the same idea, which is like AI assisted creative and the best possible ads. Because the reality is, a lot Meta and a lot of, you know, the platforms, like they do a good enough job at actually managing it. But it's like, how do you actually analyze, you know, the best industry and competitive ads to find winning creative strategies fast? And I think it's really, really starting to pay off and work. We've spent $100 million in ad spend. We've scaled, you know, billion-dollar brands in 2024. This is going to be a killer business. It already is a killer business, but I wouldn't be surprised if Boring Ads becomes bigger than Boring Marketing. And you'll see the same sort of approach, which is, you know, we start with consulting to figure out the problem. Then we build technology to optimize our workflows to be ahead of everyone else. We sell that into our consulting clients. They start getting really good results. Word of mouth goes like crazy. I mean, the word of mouth of like, I'm Boring Marketing and Boring Ads. The word of mouth is absolutely insane. Like, I got a note in our Slack yesterday that we have 76 booked meetings in the next couple weeks, just for Boring Marketing. And I'm sure Boring Ads probably has more. So it feels really good not to have a lead problem. And just like, it feels really good to have customers have great experiences and just tell other people. So I think what will happen with Boring Ads is, again, same sort of thing with Boring Marketing, is we'll unbundle some of these ad tools that people would be able to use themselves. So we're already doing that. Stay tuned. And what's happened is now we have Boring Ads, Boring Marketing is now under a new company called Boring Holding. So it's essentially, we incubated a holding company. So it's pretty meta. We have Late Checkout, which is a holding company that owns LCA, owns Boring Holdings. So that's an interesting thing that's happened here in 2024. Okay, business updates. And you probably need a robot. You probably need a robot was a newsletter that 60,000 people signed up to get information about AI and how to use it to become a better solopreneur, better an entrepreneur. And we shut it down. So we shut it down. Well, we shut down. Yeah, we shut down. You probably need a robot, and as is, and turned it into a bit, you know, added it to a business that we already had running called Startup Empire. Now, what is Startup Empire? A lot of you already know what Startup Empire is. It's a membership that people sign up to, who want to accelerate their ideas, who want to build businesses. There's a ton of contents there, tools there, community there. In some ways, it's almost like the de facto membership for this podcast. And, you know, there's like million plus dollars a year in savings and discounts for tools. You get a free school membership, which is worth $99 a month. And people pay $149 a month to be a part of it. And it's really designed to like essentially break even. But for us, like the Late Checkout team, to basically, you know, hire from there, buy companies, invest companies, stay connected. And what we basically realized is like we like the Startup Empire monthly email was so similar to the You Probably Need a Robot monthly email. It's like, why are we dividing and conquering? And, you know, how do you simplify that in a way that, you know, just makes sense? So we just basically said, okay, we're gonna bring that email into Startup Empire. We're already doing so much of the same stuff, which is like people in Startup Empire are interested in using AI and agents to build their businesses. Let's bring it in there. So it was a win for the Startup Empire community. Because now all of a sudden they got more content, and they're getting better emails. And it was a win for like Late Checkout in the sense that, dude, every time you add a new company, it's just like another trial that you have to manage. So if we can simplify things, that's something we really want to do. So that is what happened with You Probably Need a Robot. Did it fail? I mean, it failed as is, but like, is it succeeding in some form? Yes. Like Startup Empire, like people are getting tons of value out of it. And it's nice to see it live on. DesignScientist.com. So that is a design subscription that people pay monthly for, and they get, you know, on-demand decks, on-demand social assets, that, you know, that sort of thing. That business did, you know, oh, I think around 1.3 million in revenue. So it has some staying power, like people like the product, but that is being evolved into something else. I'm not ready to talk about what that is going to be, but there's some product market fit there, but you know, I think it could be a lot bigger, in the current setup, you know, current setup, I don't see it getting to 10 million. And it's like one of those things where it's like, you have to ask yourself, if this gets to $10 million, like, do I want to be in that business? Like, do I want to have 1,000, you know, it's not 1,000 clients. Do I want to have 200 clients I'm managing? And the answer is absolutely not. So, it's a helpful exercise for people to basically ask yourself, you know, if this scales, do I want to be in that business? Oh, if not, what is the business that I want to be in? And that's the current exercise that we're doing with Design Scientist. We actually have an offsite, Jan 6th to 9th, where we're going to be talking with all the partners of Late Checkout, what we're going to be doing with it. So stay tuned. So that's the business update of all the businesses, and overall, super happy with how things are going. I mean, these are they're cash flowing businesses every single day, spinning off cash. Great teams happy. We don't have like a lead problem, which is really good. It's just about fine tuning, optimizing, and scaling these businesses to being businesses that have more enterprise value, less services driven, more AI driven, working with more cool companies, and looking to acquire and partner with interesting entrepreneurs. That's something that, you know, Boring, for example, came out of a 50% acquisition that we made in December 2022. We want to do more of these things. We want to find entrepreneurs to partner with and build businesses with. Want to do more of that in 2025. I didn't really mention it, but we're also incubating a bunch of new products. I talked about offerbutton.com, which is kind of like a little widget to help you sell your company. And there's things like that that we're incubating. So we have like a little dedicated team that's incubating a bunch of different products using AI coding, using agents. And it's one of those things where you throw stuff against the wall and you see what works and you evolve them into something that you're excited about. And that's what it is. That's like the big learning from running a holding company is like you throw a lot against the wall, you make it cash flowing, you evolve it into something that excites you. You simplify it wherever you can. You know, last year, 2023 going to 2024, I said my main mission is to build skyscrapers, not strip malls. Which what I mean by that is, instead of having like 100 little companies, how do we have only a few companies and build it up higher and higher? And that's kind of what we're doing. We're trying to simplify as much as possible. And we're kind of asking ourselves the hard questions around, are we excited about these businesses? And if not, how do we evolve them into something that really gets us stoked? Okay, moving on to the next section, productivity gains and productivity unlocks. 2024, what's things I've changed? One is I started sipping on yerba mate. Okay, I got to be honest, this is coffee, but yerba mate I try to drink in the afternoons. I drink a brand called Amanda Tradition. I think it's Amanda Traditional. I can include the links in the description. And I find I sleep better because I'm not like drinking coffee in the afternoon. I get the energy kick from it. It's more sustained. The way I drink it is over ice with a little bit of honey because it's a bit bitter. You can also use maple syrup, shout out Canada. And I've been enjoying it. So highly recommend yerba mate. Number two, I started using Apple Notes way more. So from 2023 into 2024, I was using Notion for everything. Our whole business is run on Notion. You know, our team likes it. I'm not hating on Notion. But for me, it's too complicated. and Apple Notes is like the bare minimum of what I need. And I just find I'm extremely more productive with Apple Notes. It simplified my thinking process. So highly recommend just like simplifying your productivity stack if you can. The last thing is I use an app called Things on my phone and on desktop. It's a to-do list app. It's just like the most beautiful to-do list app I've been able to find. And I've honestly had Things since 2011, but I haven't really been using it. I've used more complicated to-do list apps, and again, like you're hearing it again. It's like simplification Things. It's very focused. It's a really pretty app, and it's been really helpful in terms of productivity gains for 24. Okay, another section: new insights and learnings. I wanted to share a couple of these with you. So there's something I call the Friday afternoon test. I didn't make it up. A friend of mine told me about it. He basically is a CEO of a few $100 million company. And he says he only makes big decisions on Friday afternoon. He says it feels right when you're tired and ready for the... He says if it feels right when you're tired and ready for the weekend, it's probably right. I thought that was really interesting. So a lot of the time you make these big decisions when you're in the moment and you're really stoked. You've got a lot of coffee in you and you're like, this is amazing. Let's go. Take a second. Don't make any impulsive decisions. Let it like sit for a bit. And when you're tired and ready for the weekend, let's say it's a Friday afternoon, how are you feeling about it? You know, are you still really excited about it? Are you more excited about it? Are you less excited about it? And maybe it doesn't need to be Friday afternoon for some people. Some people it could be 6 p.m. on a Wednesday, right? You're like trying to get through it. But I think the point is have that, you know, weekly reminder, Friday afternoon, Wednesday night, whatever it is for you. And ask yourself, you know, is this the big decisions I need to make this, you know, this month? Maybe it's not a weekly meeting. Maybe it's a once a month. These are the big decisions I need to make. Am I excited about it? And the same founder actually gave me another, you know, insight and learning. He calls it the day zero integrity test. So he gives someone a small task with unclear instructions, and then he basically sees if they ask any questions or they just guess. And he tells, what's cool about that is it tells you everything about their future behavior. So this is for like when you're interviewing someone or it's their first week on the job. Just give a small task with unclear instructions and you'll learn a lot about how someone works. And I guess my last kind of insight, and this is going to be obvious to people, but like, I don't know if I can sleep with all this like AI agent stuff that's going on, you know, like my insight here is there's a ton of opportunity right now. And some of the biggest opportunities are in the kind of the most boring spaces. So I'm trying to strike while the iron's hot. I think the iron's going to be hot for at least 2025, maybe even 2026. But it's a really, really exciting time to be building. And I want to thank you for being with me in 2024. This has been the most fun year of my career. It's been so fun, you know, recording this podcast, having people listen, seeing the comment section blow up. Thank you for being there. Thank you for commenting. Thank you for liking. Thank you for thank you for subscribing. Thank you for just thank you. And this year I will give more startup ideas, more growth tactics. I will never gatekeep anything from you. This podcast is not about gatekeeping. This is about just giving you free value. So I hope that in 2024, I gave you an ounce of free value. I hope this conversation, you enjoyed this conversation. This is it. This is what I'm going through in 2020, at the end of 2024. These are the things I'm thinking about. And I'm curious to know what's on your mind. So thank you for listening and see you in 2025.